This is the Pacifica National Board meeting convening on Saturday morning, July 21st, 2012 at 9:31 a.m. Pacific, 12:31 p.m. Eastern. Summer Reese, Chair, Bill Crozier, Vice Chair, Afia Wangaza, Secretary. Madam Secretary, could you call the roll, please? Thank you.
Laura Priebus. Tracy Rosenberg.
Here.
Dan Siegel.
Here.
Andrea Turner.
Present.
Campbell Johnson.
Present.
Thank you. Alvin Alsame.
Here.
Marcel Reed.
Here.
Rublin Gold.
Yes, present.
Ken Aaron.
Here.
Ali Lexa.
Here.
Lydia Brazan.
Here.
Heather Gray.
Here.
Ifia Wangaza, present. Teresa Allen.
Present.
George Ryder.
Here.
Wesley Bethune.
Here.
Bill Crozier.
Here.
Nia Bediako. Carolyn Burden.
Here.
Kathy Davis. Kathy Davis.
I'm here. Barely.
Alex Steinberg.
Present.
Arlene Engelhart.
Present.
Laverne Williams. And Andy Gohl.
Present.
We have quorum, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Good morning, everybody.
I'm here.
Hi, Laura. Yes, we saw you when you came in. Thank you. Yes. Buenos dias. Okay, folks, we left off yesterday. We had agreed to continue the Finance Committee portion this morning when we went into open session before other committee reports. We had Ivan Alsame's motion pending and then the National Finance Committee reports. So I guess we're doing agenda approval day by day as much as I... Well, that would be lovely. I have a suggestion that we approve the whole rest of the meeting today. If we can do that, that would be lovely because we don't have to waste time tomorrow. But I don't know that that's going to happen. So, you know, George, can you take a microphone, please? Thank you.
I want to make an addition to the agenda. After Yvonne's motion and before the committee reports, I want to meet as a committee of the whole for a period of an hour and a half. A committee of the whole is an opportunity to discuss what I think is the central issue for us at this time, which is how do we expand our listenership, how do we expand our resources, how do we expand our awareness of Pacifica in the progressive community. And you can't make motions in that time. It's an opportunity to get to talk to each other, and I think this is the right time to do it. So I move that we meet as a committee of the whole after Yvonne's motion and before the committee reports.
Before the Finance Committee report also?
Before the Finance Committee report, yes. Before all the committee reports.
Okay, is there a second to that?
I second
it. Okay. Is there discussion? And if there's not discussion, shall we vote on it? Carolyn?
Yes, I would like to object.
Okay, yeah, objections are always in order.
I think the agenda, that those issues will be handled under the development section of the agenda, which is due tomorrow. So I don't
Monday, actually.
Monday, so I don't see any reason to redo our
agenda
today for this, important as the issue is. And if we do, maybe we can do it after dinner when we're a little more
ready. Monday is when it's scheduled right
ready
now.
Ready for an open session.
Okay. Thank you. Lydia?
Yes, what I've heard on the news all weekend is that because Barack Obama is coming to Oakland on Monday,
oh God,
and they said that Monday afternoon, which is when most of us are leaving, that the whole airport area, and he's staying here until the evening in Oakland, and that you need to double or triple your time because it's going to be massive with security.
You know, why doesn't he check with us
after
first?
The shooting, by the way?
Because he's not a member.
Well, that, we got to fix that. Barack's going to have to become a member so he knows when we're doing our meeting.
And because Mercury is retrograde.
Totally.
And he's had lots of practice. Lots of practice. So he'll fit right
so
in.
So what you were trying to tell me is that our meeting on Monday morning is going to get toasted by Barack Obama's cavalcade of cars, and they're going to shut everything down, and people are going to start peeling out of here like at lunchtime? Jeez.
So that we should probably do it now.
Okay, folks, I'm at the will of the body. I do suggest we work after dinner, though, because if we're going to lose part of Monday, then we need to utilize every square inch we've got here. All right, there's objection, there's support. Do we need to discuss this further, or can we just vote on it?
Let's vote on it.
Thank God. Okay. All those in favor of changing the agenda, let me just state it before you vote. Folks, can everyone quiet down just a little, please? Order. George?
What's that?
Okay, I just wanted to reiterate what we're voting on in case anyone wasn't paying attention. The motion on the floor is to change the agenda so that there would be an hour and a half meeting of the Committee of the Whole, where we would not be putting motions forward, but would be discussing on development, strategic planning, increasing listenership, et cetera. And that this would occur right after the motion that was on the floor, Ivan Alsame's motion, and before committee reports, including the National Finance Committee report. His motion related to the cuts and layoffs, where we left off in the conversation yesterday.
I just have a question. I'm not looking at the agenda.
Yes.
But when does the public come? And are they going to be a part?
Okay, we're in public session all day today, so the public will be able to sit here and listen as we discuss as a committee of the whole as well, and public comments this afternoon. And it won't change the post-lunch schedule because people are interacting with us, the general manager and the LSB chair and all these people that have reports this afternoon. So, all those in favor of amending the agenda, please raise your hands. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Hold on. Keep your hands up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. It's a crushing majority. Okay. All right. Motion passes. Thank you. That's what we'll do. So let's see what our agenda, if we can approve the rest of it for the day. So it will go motion, committee meeting of the whole, finance committee report. We'll probably be jammed up against lunch by then, quite frankly, because I'm trying to be somewhat realistic about these things. And after lunch, I may move my chair's report to tomorrow if that's necessary, but we'll have the executive director's report, KPFA general manager's report, KPFA LSB chair's report, and public comment time certain. And there's some controversy. Some people would like to meet after dinner. That's what I scheduled. Other people would prefer not to. I don't know if we'd like to take that up right now so we get that over with. Do we want to meet after? Okay, I'm fine with that. So we're going to approve it. That's why I'd prefer. Yeah. Yeah, that's why I was saying we should just get it over with for the day. Because then, I mean, agenda approval is such a, it's the wasting time part of our lives. So, I have us currently scheduled for meeting after dinner because many people feel that's how we should utilize our time because we're here and it takes money to get us here and we're here. So, is there any.
Never mind, we're brain dead after dinner. Warm bodies. We are only counting warm bodies.
Right? Oh, not necessarily the brain cells functioning anymore? I don't know.
Could we push it back to Sunday?
Yes. Okay, folks. How many people object to meeting after dinner? Dang. All right, I feel like a vote's coming. Okay, look, I don't want to spend all day here. I want to get on with work. So let's just take a vote on it. Okay, meeting after dinner or not meeting after dinner. All those in... Yes, ma'am. Well, you know, we have all the languishing committee. We have many motions, as I said yesterday, that have been with us for a really long time. Whether or not they're germane or important is a different issue, but they're there. So we have committee reports and we have motions. We usually don't get all the way through the agenda over weekend. Yes.
If they languish for 2 years...
Can we kill them? Yeah.
Microphone.
Well, I've thought about approaching all of you individually.
Use the microphones, folks.
Yes. Bill, go ahead.
Just a quick point. You know, we're here to get work done.
Yeah.
Let's meet this evening and get us through as much as we can.
He's going to give an opinion. No. I want to give an
opinion. We can have opinions. And go ahead, please comment. I mean, we're discussing real fast.
So having this in-person meeting was motivated in part because we're going to get together and meet across lines and work on bylaws language and work on this nonsense and this. And, you know, it doesn't happen if you don't have the time. If you're meeting from day one and day nine, I mean, you know, George Ryder has to stop me as I'm passing by his chair to help me, you know, to want to do the committee of the whole or whatever. That shouldn't be happening that way. We should be able to have in-depth discussions in between. That's the only difference that I can think of between this and a phone meeting. And as you know, I oppose having any more in-person meetings, but if we're going to have them, it's not about hobbling in here after a whole day and being exhausted. And just because we want to cross stuff off of our paper, oh my, no. It's the quality of the product that we send out, including most of these suggestions that you're going to have right now in this committee of the whole have happened with side conversations across the line with people from the other side. That doesn't happen if we don't get any time to do it.
Thank you, Lydia. I think, I mean, what we decide to do with the time is one thing, but part of the thing is if we don't schedule any time to meet in the evening, people just go off and do their own thing.
Right.
We're in another town. You go off in groups. Sometimes good conversations occur with that, but sometimes it isn't really leading to anything specific.
No,
I'm saying it varies. Sometimes it leads to very productive conversations, and sometimes people are just tired and going and doing something else.
But that's through the board meeting, so let's not...
Could we take the vote?
But we could also, if the body chose, we could decide that we want to meet this evening to discuss the bylaws amendments. I mean, it's up to us what we do with the time, but we either spend it together or we don't. So first let's decide whether we want to meet tonight, and then we'll quickly decide what we want to do with that time, okay? Because it doesn't have to be to chew on reports. It could be because we decide, okay, we're going to discuss those bylaws amendments tonight, okay? I'm open to suggestion, but we do need to decide whether we're spending it all together in a group or we're going to go off and do smaller groups or something.
We could also decide how much time we're going to
It was scheduled for 2. It was like from 7 to 9. And I know in L.A., like, you know what I mean? But that was also because we went off campus to have dinner, which was hard to get everybody back. Dinner's here at the hotel. So in theory, we could eat and just meet together again for a couple of hours. So can we – go ahead.
So we're having
dinner in the hotel tonight?
That's my understanding, correct, Tracy? Yes.
Okay, so could we have dinner earlier so that we could be out earlier? The reality, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me that we're supposed to be dealing with financial matters, but we're going to have a meeting of a committee as a whole without having financial information. And then when we're at a minimum half, if not whole, entirely brain dead, and carbohydronized.
I like that.
After dinner, that, you know, that we wind up with little more than a body count to satisfy somebody's guilt feelings about spending money. I think it's abusive. I think it's deceptive, and I think that we ought to abandon the practice and beginning with tonight by not having a meeting after dinner. In fact, I won't be here.
And there's another compromise solution, folks. It's not unheard of to simply push dinner down and break later and then not meet after dinner. You know, I mean, one can have dinner at 6 o'clock instead of at 5 or 7. I mean, I'm saying there are solutions to these problems. You know what I mean? People would prefer to work a longer day and then break for dinner and be done. That's also... So right now the proposal is to meet after dinner.
No, I amended it to... I said we should meet earlier.
We should meet dinner later. Dinner early.
Or later.
Hold on, let me hear from the person who's coordinated the meals, yes.
Please use microphones.
Dinner is actually coming at 5:30 p.m.
It is, just straight up.
I don't know how much earlier you guys would want it to be.
You can usually make it later easier than you can make it earlier with most places, but... Okay, folks, let's just get on with it. We're wasting so much time talking about whether or not we're going to waste more time later. so, Alex?
Why can't we just have dinner at like 7:30 and meet until then?
Well, the problem is the arrangements weren't even made, and it's a hotel, and usually one can push dinner down a half hour, sometimes no.
Tracy says she can make new arrangements.
Okay, so I would not suggest 7:30. People start to fall apart at that. I mean, I don't know. I get hypoglycemic after a while. But we could have dinner at 7. That would make us meet all the way through.
That is 10:30. That's
7:30. I find eating while working difficult. But it doesn't... Look, we just need to get on with it.
The first issue was...
Do we meet after dinner?
Are we meeting tonight or not?
There we go. So, well, I'm only talking about if we put off dinner till like the next day, you know. So, all right, folks. Look, what's on the floor is, do we meet after dinner? That would be dinner still happening at 5:30. We take a break. We come back. We meet for a couple of hours. All those in, George, did you want to say something before
no,
we did? No.
I just wanted
okay.
To
all those
sure
in vote. Favor of meeting after dinner with the current schedule, please raise your hand so I can count you. Thank you. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Do you count more than 9? Did I miss someone? 10. I have 10. All those opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Looks like we're meeting after dinner. Well, are you looking for me to break to not meet after dinner? I'll work us, like, continuously while we're here.
Substitute motion. Have a later dinner and just keep...
Well, we just meeting after dinner just passed.
Yeah,
we just voted. Can we move on?
Okay, Lydia, go ahead.
Having had this information, I would have voted against then the committee of the whole. If you're going to meet after dinner, then have that.
Well, I had suggested that
committee. Oh, okay.
I had suggested that we meet in the
that way. If 9, 10, 11, 12 of us, you know, beg out, you guys.
The problem is that's already been amended. It's now part of the agenda.
Can we move on?
Can we move on? Okay, folks. We're done. We're done. Okay, we're meeting after dinner. We're having the committee of the whole now. Let's rock and roll through it. If we decide we're falling apart at dinner, we can talk about it again. But, you know. All right. Is there any other changes to the agenda, or can we get on with the doing business? I know, Nia. Go ahead, Kathy. Yeah, totally. All right, folks, come on. The public is listening to this and going, oh, my God, is this what they do when they have a meeting, right? Okay, I would like to go ahead, and if we have order here, I'd like to go to Ivan. I'd like to have him read the motion that we came up yesterday, and then we can have discussion, take a vote on that, and move to the committee.
10 minutes,
yes, please. Go ahead. Thank you. Ivan, could you go ahead and reread the motion so we have it for the stream for this morning? Always, but usually not publicly.
All right.
He's got it.
Wes.
Okay, folks. Can everyone please... thank you. Go ahead, Ivan.
Okay. Whereas Pacifica has had deficit spending during each of the past 5 years and has spent all its reserves while accumulating debt, and whereas the PNB approved the 2012 financial recovery plan listed resolving debts and restoring modest financial reserves as its goals, and whereas the revenues are still down and net income during the first three quarter of the fiscal year 2012 has been under budget and is likely to be negative by the end of the fiscal year unless corrective steps are taken, and whereas the auditor has stressed that our continued deficit spending and growing debt is unsustainable, and together with the resulting lack of working capital led to his ongoing concern alert. Resolved, Pacifica National Board supports the expense cuts announced by the executive director, at least $1 million per fiscal year relative to the fiscal year 2012 budget, and encourages board and staff at all our stations to understand that these are necessary for our survival, even though cuts are never easy.
Thank you, Evan. And who is the second? I know we had one, but somebody want to be the second for today? George? Okay.
Note from John Gary that we lost the PNB stream. Is it back on?
Can you use the microphone?
Oh, we got a note, email from John Gary, our recording secretary, that we lost the PNB stream at 9:09. Is it back on?
Oh, that wasn't probably lost. That was probably when we didn't have quorum. And every, yeah, he took us off because we were all floating around looking for each other.
All right. Sorry, I just noticed that.
Thank you. Okay. Hi, John. We're back. Okay. We have a second. Is there discussion? Okay. Q, I've got Kathy. I've got Ken. Go ahead, Kathy.
Thank you.
Please.
I definitely understand this motion. What I just wanted to point out, and that, and what makes it concerning to me, to some degree, is that it feels a bit like a rubber stamp without having the opportunity of the PNB to have these discussions. And so I feel that it's premature because we haven't had full discussions on these issues. And as we all know, cuts have already started taking place and are in the process of being implemented. And I just feel that there needs to be a larger discussion on the PNB before passing this motion so that it becomes something that everybody understands and can get behind or not, rather than it just be a rubber stamp of something that was already initiated either in committee or by the executive. I don't really know for sure the process of how all this was initiated, but I do feel that there needs to be a wider discussion amongst the PNB and inclusion at the staff level of what those cuts might mean, giving people choices of maybe sacrificing hours, maybe some people want to retire. You know, there are all kinds of things that could happen, you know, in terms of cutting a budget, and this feels more like and undisclosed acts, and I just think that there needs to be more inclusion in the process.
Thank you, Kathy. One moment before I go to the, I've got you all on cue. Don't worry. I made an error in not asking Ivan if he wanted to motivate his motion. I apologize. Did you want to?
I will.
You come back. Okay, so I'm going to let you. I want to time. Okay, thank you. All right, I just didn't want. People's phones are
still the 90s.
Yes, thank you, Ivan. Yes, you're still my timekeeper, huh? Thank you. Okay, so I have Ken, then I have Andrea, then I have Dan, then I have Campbell. Go ahead, Ken.
Okay, I think the options that Kathy mentioned are on the table and in use by management in terms of retirement or furlough or lessening hours or cutting pay. All of those things are available. I just, instead of making a rhetorical statement about this, I just want to indicate that the Finance Committee made a special subcommittee to figure out what to do at KPFK in terms of the overhead. And I, as an LSB member with the treasurer, Kim Kaufman, had a meeting with the GM and Arlene when she was down there. And they didn't tell us what their plan was. But we eventually indicated the basic cuts, which we designed as non-personnel, then non-union personnel, and then union personnel. And we gave them those options. But it was made very clear to us by the GM and the ED that these were taken as recommendations, and we clearly said these are recommendations, but it was emphatically stated that they were only received as recommendations and that management would decide who to let go or how to adjust things. And in fact, according to current recent communications, they didn't follow any of our recommendations. So the point being that if we were in affluence and making lots of money, there should be normally a time. Where you discharge certain people and hire new people. It's a normal process. It doesn't require management governance approval of every action taken to optimize performance or adjust the financial conditions. It's a management function. We can't micromanage whether or not to keep a full-time receptionist or whether to put
Thank
them
you
on
time. Folks. Everybody runs over time. Absolutely.
So that's
everybody.
My confession that we had that meeting.
Well, I just in full disclosure, I was also part of that meeting, so I was there. Thank you. No, I've got you on stack. No, and I mean management was very clear that these decisions are management's. Just to be clear on that. So,
but within the guidelines that you said.
No, please. No, I didn't want it to. I like transparency. I attended that meeting. So, next on stack is Andrea, Dan, Campbell, Bill, Lydia. You wanted to be on stack, correct?
Absolutely.
Okay, Lydia. Nia, okay. So, it was 10 minutes, but we're probably going to go over that. We'll probably extend time. Right now, we're just keeping people in their 90 seconds.
I think the people who weren't involved in this should speak first. How about that?
Okay, I just wanted to disclose that I was there. Thank you. Andrea.
I agree with you, Kathy, that we do need to have more discussion. I know that it is management. That's not the issue right now. If you have $250,000 that you're cutting from any one of the stations or sites, it doesn't equate to the FTEs for that station. I'm not let's get beyond that. What else are we talking about? There's what we call above the line, and that's personnel, and below the line, that's the direct services. So what else are we looking at in terms of being cut? What was being proposed? That's what I was basically asking for yesterday. I know that management has the right to bring up these topics or whatever, but also when we have to respond to our constituents, our listeners, it would be good to have something in mind to at least impart to them on what we're talking about in general in terms of cuts for the station to justify why they should continue with their monies or not continue with their monies. They are supporting us, and we're talking about the people's monies. And we have to respect that. Beyond the FTEs, what about the operational costs or below the line?
Time.
Thank you.
Point of information,
Thank you,
what is FTE?
Full-time equivalent.
Thank you.
And just for clarity, our FTEs frequently include people who work, you know, a quarter time, a half time, and so we end up with our full-time equivalents as a total number for each station, which may include many more bodies in the building, but several of them are part-time, and they get aggregated into your total number of FTEs. Dan, you're next.
Well, you know, I oppose the motion. I think it's kind of irresponsible, and I agree with Kathy's formulation that it just sounds like a rubber stamp. Yesterday, we narrowly voted not to get the information that we would need to responsibly approve a motion such as the one Yvonne made. And I'm not ready. I'm not so confident in our management that I just want to adopt measures to give them the carte blanche to go ahead and do whatever they think they should do. You know, if we thought we had great management, maybe I would, but that's not the way I feel. And I feel like there's really been a lot of problems in the way this foundation has been run. I look forward to having a conversation that George initiated, but at this point, I'm not for doing this.
Thank you, Dan. Campbell, you're next.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You know, I serve on the Financial Recovery and Audit Task Force and the National Finance Committee and on the so-called contingency group, and we haven't gotten into any particulars in regard to this. We're allegedly, as directors, supposed to be involved in governance. That doesn't mean you just say to management, go forth and do good things, and we're going to approve something without even knowing what we're approving. That's it in... And I'll go a little bit further than what Dan said. I think that's insane and incompetent and irresponsible. We have fiduciary responsibilities, and we are abdicating totally on those fiduciary responsibilities if we pass this motion. Thank you.
Thank you, Campbell. Bill is next.
You know, as I mentioned yesterday, we're on a train. We're hurtling towards the edge of the cliff. We've been doing this for 5 years. Yes, we're not going quite as fast towards the cliff as we have, but we had 5 consecutive years of deficits. The last 5 fiscal years have been deficits. The last 3 audits have impressed upon us the importance of stopping this. That our previous auditor, Tony Pohl, told us 2.5 years ago this was unsustainable. Our deficit spending was unsustainable. Our expenses are higher than our revenue. Our debt was building. It's gotten worse. Our debt has increased each year. We've slowed down the deficit. We're still heading towards the edge of the cliff. And here we are arguing about which train on the car should we put the brakes on and how much braking do we need to do. This is not a board decision. This is not a board decision. It's a management decision. Management has the responsibility. They don't need us to vote on this at all. But I think we should support this. I don't like cuts. Nobody likes cuts. But frankly, none of our stations have been raising the revenue and increasing membership that we would like. The economy's hurting us. It's hurting all nonprofits. All kinds of nonprofits are making cuts. NPR announced some major cuts last year. And
they gave an outline of what
I don't like
cutting.
It, but we need to do this, and it's the responsible thing to do. We have to put the brakes on before we go off the edge of the cliff.
Thank you, Bill. Next is Lydia, then Nia, then Afia, Wesley, and Revelin.
Not all nonprofits are going down the drain. I know some that have hired staff that are doing extremely well because it depends on how you cut. And it is you are incorrect in saying that staff is totally responsible. The board, legally, please read CalCorp. The board is responsible. If the staff walks out today, the board is left hanging. If the staff hangs in there, the board, when we go under, if and when, it's the board responsible, including individual responsibility. I have seen the nonprofits that have gone under, and that's what happens. But in Pacifica, when we crafted these bylaws, the whole purpose of having the LSBs look at the budget, come up with adjustments, was so that it's done within objectives and strategy. And this pattern of, as the frat did just a couple months ago, where all of a sudden their plan comes to us at the 11th hour, and so we have to pass all of it without ample discussion, the same thing happened. If we've been going down the tubes for 5 years, then why do you wait till a few days before we're going to meet at the PMB, not wait until after the PMB has these discussions to start the layoffs? That's the question. Is the lack of process, not involving staff, not saying, and with all due respect to the smaller stations, it's not the same as those stations that give us 15,000, 22,000 memberships, where you do need staff support that you do not need at some of the affiliate stations, you do not need at community radio stations, you do not need at a 7,000 member station such as KPFT, etc. So every single station is different, and the needs are different. You can't equate it, and that's why you have to have the discussions with staff, which are represented more amply on the LSBs and with the LSB.
Thank you, Lydia. And my timekeeper graciously pointed out to me, I think two speakers back, that we were out of time on this agenda item. Is there any objection to continuing for 15 minutes on this item? Thank you all. Let's just keep moving. Thank you. Nia, you're up.
Okay. First, I have to acknowledge, I'll do speed talking. I'd like to acknowledge the fact that that Ken, you know, whom I disagree with, I guess, 99.99999% of the time, at least he was honest enough to say that he did something that he should not have done, which is actually, as a director, to speak to the LSB without the other LSB members, because I heard those comments from the other members. And, you know, Bill, you speak like a true Texan. I mean that in the funniest way.
I object.
Folks. I'm sorry, Wesley. Is that, you know, it no, that ain't what I'm talking about. Now the thing is, you know, I really understand what Kathy's saying. And Kathy, you know, on the LSB, as everybody knows, we're on opposite side. But this time I do agree with her. The frat committee has acted like it's an executive committee, and it's not an executive committee. And Afia passed that comment yesterday, and you were a little smirky, but, you know, some people smirked at her. But I said that she was absolutely right. And then I heard that based on what the frat said, then Arlene acted. That's not the way it's supposed to work. There has to be some respect and some trust.
I'm going to put myself on stack. Go ahead, Nia.
What?
Go ahead. Keep talking.
Okay.
She's twitching. You better
stop. She,
I got you, Carol. We're not taking that out of your time. Keep talking.
Okay. No, so, based on what, well, obviously, it's what the frat said, because the PNB did not approve the motion. The motion is just coming to the board now for us to approve. It's about having a certain amount of trust and respect for the people who are, you know, I hate to use this term, based the bosses of the foundation, which is the board. You know, basically, we are the employer and there's a staff. So how does, I don't understand, we have to listen to all directors or no directors. And obviously, from this conversation, I could tell who's been talking to, I guess, management.
Right. That's right.
Okay? That's what it sounds like to me. And I think that maybe, you know, management might want to think twice about listening to those folks, because now we have this big controversy.
I'm putting myself on stack, and I don't know how much I can say in this open session. There's a lot more I'd like to say to all of you tomorrow when we have closed session in the morning about, there's a lot of misperception about how these conversations have occurred, quite frankly, and I don't feel that I can say all that here. I will, but that's why we've got 3 hours of closed session in the morning, too. Okay?
No.
I'll say what I can here, but I'm going to go back to stack right now. It's Afia, and then... I'll put you back, but I got people in front of you. I got Afia, then I have Wesley, then I have Revelin, I have Carolyn. Is that somebody wanting to be heard over there? Okay, and Tracy. Go ahead, Afia.
I'd like and to Summer. Simply say to the people who are who take the position that characterize our concern as micromanaging, that what we're talking about here is a substantive change in this organization. And I think it is the responsibility of the board to at least participate, if not determine what the change in character is going to wind up being. Therefore, it is entirely within the jurisdiction and purview of this board to discuss these questions.
Thank you, Afia. Wesley?
Yeah, this is kind of...
Into the mic, please, so they can hear you loud and clear back in Texas, too.
Yeah, I want to address the motion, but I also, this is pretty much a response, too, from what Bill had said previously. And this is kind of particular to KPFT, and so mostly for the ears of my colleagues on from KPFT, is that, once again, I don't believe that we should be so anxious to cut staff while we still are subsidizing BBC, NPR, all this stuff that has been operating at a loss for years. I think there are other alternatives besides just cutting staff so that management can have their little pet projects. Thank you.
Revelin?
Also, I just want to be clear that I am speaking to ideas and concepts and not to a person. But the idea that we've been on this train for 5 years and, you know, train is getting ready to realize that it's going off the cliff, you know, it reminded me of when we had the economic crisis in 2008, and government said, oh, we have to cut, you know. And as they cut, and they cut programs that were important to people, we found out a few years later that there were other people that were getting really rich. And so I just want to make sure that that formula is in no way repeated, and that we look at that as an opportunity to not cut in that way, in a way that is harmful to the people that are in the field.
Thank you, Evelyn. I have Carolyn, then I have Tracy.
Thank you. I think that one of the issues is that we, you know, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. We hired management. We hired an auditor. We got an auditor's report that recommended, among other things, exactly what we did. Setting up a committee to examine the issues and deal with it over the structure. That was the auditor's recommendation, as I recall.
Please, we'll have plenty of time for public
May
comment.
I finish without
interruption? Please, 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 everyone, just be courteous to each other, all of us. Just,
Thank
it's
you.
Your time to speak, Carolyn.
And that's what management is for, and management did exactly that. And I think that if your problem is there, then you need to rethink the entire structure of how we get advice and implement it. We had an auditor. We did what we were recommended to. There are good reasons for making cuts, especially when you're applying for financial assistance from the government and you have outside agencies looking at your bottom line. If you have not attempted to make some cuts where they are necessary, and what I've heard, they seem to be necessary. But that's what management is for, to make those decisions. And I think that we need to rethink this. It is micromanaging. And as to the question of executive committee, this is not, FRAT was not an executive committee. It was something that the organization created in order to overcome the impasses on the local committees. With all due respect, the local committees were not capable. Ken ran a great committee and is running a great committee. That committee has actually done a lot of work, unlike
Time.
The individual committees. And I think, again, that was following the auditor's advice. It was good advice. We took it. And we should follow through with it and stop second-guessing politically unhappy decisions, things that our individual factions don't believe of. Let's think about the board.
Folks,
and
could we please
folks
have attention?
Back home at on staff looking down our backs, please.
Thank you, Carolyn. Tracy?
Point of order. Could we stop the cross conversation?
Ladies? It's from members? Members? Thank you.
Do you want me to start?
Go ahead, Tracy.
Well, you know, we've had the motion read aloud, I think, four different times between yesterday and today, in closed session and open session, and it still seems like we're not entirely clear what it says. It uses the word expense reductions. That's the word that it uses. That just means spending less money. For example, Wesley's talking about the BBC and the NPR. That's an expense reduction. Getting rid of duplicate wire copy services at KPFA, something's been talked about for years. That's an expense reduction. All of that is encompassed in the motion. I think we're having a little bit of, you know, mental obsessive compulsive disorder with the cuts thing that's going through everyone's head. Expense reductions. That can include a variety of things. Are those decisions up to management or are they up to us? I've always been told that they're up to management, and I've been, you know, messing around KPFA for 10 or 12 years pointing out that the duplicate wire services piss me off. I'm not the manager. Wasn't my decision. I still think it's an excellent expense reduction, but it's not going to help me out here. So I think that's something that we're just deliberately or accidentally obscuring in the conversation, because expense reductions is a lot less sexy than, you know, the drama of personnel cuts. But I think anyone in their right mind makes non-personnel reductions first. Then they look at non-union positions. Then they look at union positions. And if anyone in this foundation isn't doing things in those orders that we have in a management position, they should be fired. It's incompetent.
We found something we agree on. Okay, you get your time.
Yeah. Was there something else? Whatever. That's fine.
Regardless of how you interpret that.
Who's on the queue?
I have Laura. Alex, was that you trying to be recognized? I have Laura, then I have Alex. You've already spoken once, Ken. I'll put you back for a second round. Okay, go ahead, Laura.
I just want to remind people that another thing that the auditor said was that we lacked financial leadership at the top. And we've discussed that. You know, we have assets. It hasn't been on the table about whether, you know, we could sell properties next to KPFA. There's other things that we might be able to do, and none of that has come up to this board as a part of this discussion, and I think it needs to.
Thank you, Laura. Alex?
I'm not happy about this motion. I think we do need to make some cuts, and I also think that it is management's decision ultimately. That's what we hire management to do. It's very difficult when cuts involve personnel, and nobody can be happy about that. And yes, we should absolutely look at alternatives to any kind of personnel cuts, if they exist. And I would have to say at this point that I think that's what management has been doing. I certainly hope they have been. If we find out differently, then we have an issue with management.
Thank you, Alex. Kathy?
Thank you. I think where certainly I started this conversation was in, as a consequence of being, you know, at a station at the local level and seeing the local management being pushed into a corner and doing things that they don't judge to be in the best interest of the station, and not having a venue or a feedback loop to have that conversation. And I have felt the same thing, that I'm not saying that there don't need to be cuts. I'm not saying that we don't need to make a real world plan. What I'm saying is to have it mandated in such a way doesn't give the people on the local level an opportunity to have this conversation with each other, to look for the cuts, to decide on the cuts, maybe to have the conversation with the listeners. And so from my perspective, I feel that process needs to have room. So I'm not saying that we don't need to cut, that we don't need to adjust our budget. What I'm saying is that what we should not be doing is mandating from a small, from a limited group of the board in a committee to sort of, and to me that's the railroad train that doesn't have brakes. And so, and also from my perspective, we've all been here for the last 5 or so years. I mean, to rally and say, okay, you know, this thing is going to go off the train track. I mean, we were all here 5 years ago watching it go off the train track. So I just think that this discussion of how to revive this network is something that we need to have, and it's something that I support.
Thank you, Kathy. Is there anyone who has not yet spoken who wished to speak? Sorry. Teresa?
There's a whirlwind of ideas that are going through my head, so it's really hard to collect my thoughts. But I agree with the motion. I think it's a tough decision, and I'm glad that our executive director has made it. I'm not sure where the cuts are going to happen at various stations, but I trust our executive director to work with the unit managers to make those decisions. And I think there's going to be a lot of there's a lot of whining. The cuts that are coming down for KPFT, I'm happy about one of them that I know of, and I'm not so happy about another one. And I'm trying in my mind to think, you know, how can I stop this? But I have to trust. At some point, I have to trust.
Please,
well,
no cost.
I think I know what's going to happen. Thanks for your comment. It's okay. The point I really want to make is, I would like to see a more active involvement by everyone on the board for fundraising. And I'm not seeing it. And actually, some of the things I'm seeing are seriously counterproductive. Seriously counterproductive. And I see some people that, you know, I wouldn't want to give money to an organization when some of the board members say the things they do and do the things they do. And I would really, really like some people to concentrate on development. Put on your thinking cap. Think of who you could approach as a big donor.
Thank you. You're at time, Teresa. We're at time on the item. We completely.
Motion to extend for 10 minutes.
Oy vey. Is there a second on the motion?
Second.
Okay.
To allow our chair to speak.
I oppose.
What, George? I'm sorry, George, were you...
He opposed the motion to extend.
How about 5 minutes?
Tracy?
How many people would like to make a second comment besides me?
You and Ken, and I said I would say something, so I'm going to.
And Ivan didn't say anything.
And Campbell.
Then I think we should extend for 10 minutes. I'm sorry.
And Ivan has to motivate. God almighty, can we not argue over how? Let's just...
I'd like to move, because I want to make a motion.
Chair. Stop! Folks, one person at a time, please. Okay. Thank you, George. Are we okay?
Okay, I was going to say...
Good.
I was going to move to...
And meanwhile, while Rome burned. Anyway, thank you. Is there any opposition? We've withdrawn it. Can we move on? Thank you. 10 minutes. Okay. Did I have someone who had not yet spoken who wished to speak? No. All right. I'll go ahead. I'm not going to say much because most of what I want to say I'm going to have to say to you all because we all need to talk in closed session. Some more. Thank you. It was there were conversations going on individually, and it was suggested that those should continue, and I felt that that was not really how it should be happening, and the executive director was in town last week, and so that's how the five people that were mentioned ended up sitting at a conference table at K. I was pretty clear. I mean, my feeling on this is the board is completely blown off by management all the time. We're ineffectual. We fight. We're all factionalized. Everybody's afraid of doing something because somebody else will get an advantage. We have management throughout the network that fails to do the most basic stuff that needs to get done. In my opinion, we all know that there are individuals at various stations that, including outside professionals, say this person cannot do this job. And 3 years later, we sit there, and for some reason, they still work for us because we have an organization that's incapable of writing people up like a normal business and say, I'm sorry, you can't do your job. 3 write-ups later, you don't work here anymore. That does not involve broad-based staff cuts. It doesn't involve the unions. It involves individual competency in dealing with individuals. We don't do that at all in Pacifica. The reason we're on this kind of financial crisis is the inability to make decisions and get it done. And no plan was given to us by management. In fact, I asked, do you have a plan? Nobody was telling us anything. So the perception that there are some board members on this board that are somehow having undue influence with management, I'll be happy to see what the cuts are at Kay, and I'll find out about the same time you do, Lydia, when we all know what's going on. Because even having a conversation didn't result in any net information as to what management is even planning on doing. So that's as much as I'm going to say here in open session. I'm happy to say more when we're all just talking to each other. But I don't feel it makes any difference what we tell management to do at the end of the day. We're the board, but nothing happens. So we'll see if we can fix that, because we are the board, and we're supposed to keep this place from going off the rails. And if we could figure out how to do that more, we'd be much more effective. So.
Supporting or not?
I'm not even saying whether I'm supporting or not. I'm supporting the board. No, I'm not happy with fear and panic being sent through the staff in this fashion. And I feel we have arrived at this place because of the inability to appropriately deal with problems that are highlighted to us. I mean, and if your audit lists the same deficiencies, I've worked on audits. They just shouldn't exist the following year. They should be fixed. It isn't rocket science, and it shouldn't take a year to fix things. You just do it. I'm done. All right. So no, I'm not saying I'm saying that the perception of how some of this is transpiring is not necessarily accurate. And there's a bigger discussion, and I will talk more when we're in closed session tomorrow. Okay. We're doing second rounds. I had Tracy. I'll take you. Campbell was before you, Lydia, actually. Okay, I've got Ken, I've got Tracy, I've got Campbell, I've got Lydia. Who else? Okay.
Ivan.
Bill. Ivan. Well, Ivan gets to close. He's my closer. He proposed it. He gets to make the final word, because that's how it works. Ken.
Just as a personal privilege, the character assassination in reference to what activities people involved in is not appreciated. I try to avoid meetings with management because I don't approve of that kind of lobbying or politics. But I'm sure most of the LSB or parts of the LSB and directors have met with management to try to influence them, either the GM at the stations or the ED or the CFO. It's naive to say it doesn't happen. I try to avoid it. In fact, that meeting was not a personal meeting. It was from the Finance Committee, which is a representation of the PNB. And not all actions, not every single action goes through the PNB. And so we met, and I just want to make it clear in public, we were really impressing to cut down the number of cell phones at the station that are paid for by the station, and to cut down the janitorial costs, and to cut down the help on the audio, the telephone audio system, and practical things which would cut, not to cut staff. But the other thing that was brought up by Tracy, this isn't an action to cut staff. This is an action to cut expenses and maintain the stations for all the people that work there. You don't want to sink the boat. Everybody's going to drown. It may be necessary to adjust personnel and have some personnel who are not effective or contributing to the bottom line, to the production of radio that follows the mission statement. It's okay. It's fine. You sometimes have to adjust personnel. This is done to preserve the stations and preserve the network, not for the purpose of firing people, but for preservation of the stations, for all the people that do work there and all the people who listen.
Thank you, Ken. Tracy?
Yeah. Three things fast. The first thing is, you know, there's some sort of suggestion about undue haste. And, you know, as the motion says, we've lost about $5 million the past 4 or 5 years. We haven't done too much about it. Of that, like $2 million or so was the cash that we had. $3 million is cash that we didn't have. The question becomes if it's a five-year process to bring expenses and revenues in line, and that's like really quick and abrupt and too harsh, Are we planning to take 8 years, 10 years? I'm just not sure we have 8 or 10 years.
Not sure we have 8 or 10 months sometimes.
Yeah. So I just, you know, this hasn't been quick. I think that's a misperception. We're actually really, really slow as organizations go in terms of getting our expenses and revenue in line. We notice something is wrong 6 months to a year after it happens, mm-hmm. and we get some organizational will to do something about it 18 months to 24 months after it occurs. That's not that's not undue haste. That's not quick. The second thing I would say is I understand where Kathy's coming from. Speaking as a person on the finance committee, we gave WBAI a different rate on their central services last year in the finance committee. I don't know how many people are here from Berkeley, but I've heard a lot of crap about that at the, you know, at my, and how could we do that? And who do we think we are? And everyone else is paying WBAI's tab and the enormous fiscal irresponsibility in doing so. If we hadn't done so, BAI would have, I think, twice the deficit that it,
you're at time,
that it is currently projected. Let me just say...
Let me finish my sentence.
And I don't know that the Finance Committee will be able or willing to kind of do that again. So I think we're kind of looking at some problems that are almost insolvable if we don't address them seriously. And the third thing I would say is the motion is a mandate for reducing expenses. And unless someone has a magic button way to get $1 million more in revenue, more or less over the next 6 to 9 months, that's guaranteed, I don't see what other choice we have. And to say that board members can't participate with local management, they can't sit down and talk to them and harass them and lobby for what they want to go down, and to say that
we gotta wrap up.
People are X'd out of the process, I mean, I think people need to initiate those local conversations and take action. This mandate is simply a window and a cover for a serious organizational-wide effort to reduce expenses already, because it's been 5 years and we no longer have a choice.
Thank you. I'm going to let Arlene go next because she has not yet spoken, so she should be able to speak next, and then I'll go back to the second rounders.
I feel this is primarily a board discussion, and so I have stayed out of it deliberately, but I do feel the need to speak up about a couple of things. One of them is that there's a serious misperception. If you think that I'm going into stations and telling them this is who you have to cut, in every case, I'm working with the general manager to determine what is the best level of staffing that he can deal with in order to function effectively. And we're not starting with personnel cuts, but rather with how many other cuts can be made. Where can we save money at your station? On the other side of the coin, I'm constantly taking heat over the situation at WPFW and particularly at WBAI from the stations on the West Coast. You know, I get screaming messages on my cell phone in the middle of the night calling me a bitch and a whore and fuck you. And I'm sorry to use that language, but that's what comes in on my cell phone, and that is some of your listener representatives that are calling me like that. I don't appreciate that kind of treatment. And sometimes I don't get much better treatments from some of you on this board, and I don't appreciate that either. I have tried very hard to bring down the expenses in this organization to a level that we would finish the year in the black. And we've made quite a bit of progress, but a $500,000 deficit is not going to move us off a going concern, and it's not going to allow us to stay in business. Something has to give. You know, we don't create money at Pacifica. The federal government at least can do that. We can't. And those of you that have had problems with your own personal budgets know that if you reach a point that you can't pay your rent, you're out on the street. And that's what will happen at Pacifica if we don't do something about this. There are two committees, or a committee and a task force, that have been tasked basically with a lot of the financial responsibility in this organization, and that is the National Finance Committee and the FRAT Committee. And there's been a lot of discussion in those committees about what should happen. And in terms of the financial management within the network, that has been discussed for the last year and a half. It's almost a year and a half. I believe it was a year ago, February, that we started talking about the fact that we could perhaps cut to either using an outside service for our financial management or combining operations under one or two business managers. After a great deal of consultation with many people, I determined that the best solution was to go to two business managers, one basically in the eastern part of the United States and one in the western part of the United States, and that by doing so, we could save approximately $150,000 a year. That's a significant amount of money, and that's allowing for a $30,000 to $40,000 cushion for paying for some extra help that we might need because of some of the things that have been sacrificed. Those decisions weren't made lightly, and they weren't made without speaking with anyone else. On the other side of the coin, when you are dealing with personnel cuts, you can't go and say, oh, wait a minute, we might cut something. We might cut this position in 6 weeks. So you keep working, and you've got access to our books during that time, and you can screw them up if you want to, but we're not going to cut you until we've had a big committee decision. It doesn't work that way. And so it's up to this board what you want to do about this, and I'm sorry to take time, but I think that I do need to explain at least why I've taken the actions that I have. And as I said to this board, at least at two different times in the last couple of months, I tried to work by consensus and teamwork for the first 2 years in order to make things happen, and it just plain wasn't getting anywhere. You all sit through the number of meetings. I sit through these meetings, and if we're lucky, maybe there's a motion passed at any given telephone meeting, and maybe at an in-person meeting we pass two or three. That's not going to move us forward. And so I decided a couple of months ago, and I've made this statement to the board at least twice, that I had to be much more decisive and go ahead and take the action. If you don't like what I'm doing, then that's your choice to deal with that.
Thank you, Arlene. All right, folks, we're at time on this item, and we had a couple people who still wanted to speak. So out of courtesy, would we like to let the few remaining individuals say their final piece? Okay. Well, if there's no objection, I had Campbell and oh, everybody's going to go for another round? And I had Nia. And so did Bill. And so did Andrea. Do we need...
Now I'm starting to object.
We already... This can go on
indefinitely. It sure can. Everything can go on indefinitely.
It's mostly, I think, not productive. I object.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So, folks, I'm just the referee here, you know. Does somebody want to make a motion to extend time and somebody else is objecting? Somebody do something, okay? And I will...
I'll make a motion to extend
for how long?
Time, even if it
for
goes
how long?
Down. To get through the stack that's already been identified.
Okay.
Including Ivan's motivating.
Of course, right.
The motion.
Okay. Is there a second to that?
Second.
Okay. The stack that, it just so before people make a decision here, the stack that was already identified was Campbell, Nia, Bill, Andrea, and Lydia. Five people. And Ivan. No, I haven't forgotten Ivan. He's the caboose in that conversation, but he's the last person before we vote. So it's six people.
60 seconds or 90?
Why don't we do 60 since it's second round, except for Ivan, who'll get 2 minutes because he's motivating. All right. Is there any objection to that? Can we just do it?
Is there anything new?
Of course not.
Yes.
I don't know.
I'm on the stack.
All right.
Okay, so there's an objection. Let's just do this, please. The faster we get rid of the housekeeping, the faster we might do something around here. All those in favor of extension of time sufficient to finish the stack, please raise your hands. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. All those opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Motion passes. We're finishing the stack.
Two-thirds.
Damn. Sorry. Motion doesn't pass. Sorry, guys.
vote. But no, I'd still like to let Ivan. You always get to let the person motivate the motion. It's beyond the lack of courtesy. It just isn't proper.
We'll get our comments
yeah.
in.
Mm-hmm. Don't worry.
He motivated in the beginning.
Trust me. This is a larger conversation. It's just one motion. Go ahead, Ivan. You have the floor. 2 minutes.
I just want to say for about 30 seconds that we need to do something to save Pacifica. I truly don't think we will have Pacifica next year. Okay? At this juncture, I don't see how we will be able to sustain ourselves. We cannot even raise the money. Not only that, our listenership is declining everywhere. Okay? And we are not recruiting young people. The listenership will die in the next 10 years. And we know that. We are talking about cutting staffs. Yes, no one wants that. But you know what? A leader is a person who makes tough decisions, okay, for the benefit of the future. And we need to do that now. I understand that some people may not have jobs because of this. They are not exempt. If we are the leaders of Pacifica, we need to make tough decisions that people would not like. Before I came here, I told the LSB in Washington, D.C., before I came, okay, do not expect anything different from me because I will vote for the cuts. And that's exactly what I intend to do, because I want Pacifica to be around for the next 100 years. Thank you.
Thank you, Ivan. All right, folks. Time to take a vote. So I'm going to have Madam Secretary just call the roll. Thank you. I'll get you. I need one anyway. So all those in favor of the motion, supporting, again, it says expense cuts, then please vote yes, and if you do not support it, then vote no. And, of course, abstention is always still available. We're doing I was having Madam Secretary call the roll. It's not officially a roll call vote, but it will be a record.
Does it have to be a roll
call? No, it does. Are you requesting a roll call?
I am requesting a roll call vote.
Thank you. Okay, well, I was having
We're on stream. That's the
Well, no, no, I
It was going to be
It was going to be that anyway, but sometimes it's officially called a roll call vote. But I always want to have it called when it's something controversial so that people are able to tell how people voted.
Okay.
So.
Laura Priebus?
No.
Tracy Rosenberg?
Yes.
Dan Siegel?
No.
Andrea Turner?
No.
Campbell Johnson?
No.
Alvin Alcime?
Yes.
Marcel Reed. Revlon Gold.
No.
Yes. Ken Aaron.
Yes.
Ali Lexa.
Yes.
Lydia Brazan.
No.
Heather Gray.
Yes.
Ifia Wangaza. No. Teresa Allen?
Yes.
George Ryder?
Yes.
Wesley Bethune?
No.
Bill Crozier?
Yes.
Nia Bediako?
No.
Carolyn Burden?
Yes.
Kathy Davis?
No.
Alex Steinberg?
Yes.
Okay, so that's one, two.
It's 10 to 10 with one abstention.
Can we let the secretary do her job, please? I appreciate everyone else's help, but frankly, it is not really respectful for everyone to jump in before she's even tallied. If there's a mistake, then I appreciate feedback from the group. Mm-hmm.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10, yes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 no's, and 1 abstention. And the chair has chosen not to vote.
I think we're going to have discussion tomorrow in executive session on this stuff. I'm not going to vote.
So it fails.
The result of the vote, please.
10 yeses, 10 noes, and 1 abstention.
So then the motion fails?
That's correct.
Thank you. I thought it should be apparent for the stream.
Call the agenda. Let's move on.
Are you leaving?
No.
Committee of the Whole?
Yes.
George?
What are we doing?
Unless we want to take a five-minute break.
Do you want a five-minute break?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's call it 10. I have yet to have anyone come back in 5 minutes. There aren't even enough facilities for that.
10:45.
It's 10:42 right now. Please be back by 11. Okay, it's 15 minutes. Just
back by 11.